morning. We're privileged this morning to have some guests, some missionary guests, Daniel and Jennifer Mee. And Daniel will be speaking this morning and challenging us with the Word of God. And we'll be having a spontaneous fellowship tonight. I hadn't really planned anything, but there are a few people that thought that'd be a good idea. So we'll have a spontaneous fellowship tonight after the evening service. And of course, Daniel and Jennifer, you're invited. And so I'd be planning on that, and it should be a good day. Make sure you take a look at the bulletin. We have a few directory changes and some other notes there as well, so take note of those things. And looking forward to today. So let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer and thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for how great You are. We thank You that You are, even as we saw this morning in Sunday school, You are the source of our joy. In You we have fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. So I pray that we would not be looking at other things that this world has to offer as far as other distractions, other idols. I pray that we would be looking to You and You alone for our source of joy. I do thank You that You have given to us Your Word, and by reading Your Word we can understand and we can know what You'd have us to do. I thank You in Your Word that You tell us concerning Your Son, Jesus Christ, how Jesus died on the cross for us, how He was buried, how He rose again the third day. I thank You that in Your Word You tell us that whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life, and that their sins are forgiven, they're washed white as snow. So we thank You for that. Help us never to grow mediocre in our faith. Help us never to take for granted what You have given to us. And I do even pray this morning, if there's one that does not know You personally, that has not accepted Jesus Christ, I pray that even this morning, that person would believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. So we thank You for this church. I thank You for the fellowship that we have, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And I pray even for those that are struggling in our congregation. There are many that are struggling with their health, many that are struggling with finances, their family, or with whatever else. But I thank You that You are a God that is in control of all things, and that we can trust You with our each and every need. So I pray that we wouldn't worry. I pray that we wouldn't fret. But I pray that we would come before Your throne and leave all of our requests, all of our burdens at Your feet. So I even do pray for Daniel this morning as he is going to be preaching the Word. I pray that You would enable him in a great way, that he would preach Your Word with power and with great boldness. I pray that You'd use that Word in our life, that You'd convict us, that You'd change us, that we'd become more like the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Good morning. You're going to take your blue psalm books, turn them open to number 31. We get the wonderful opportunity to, as a congregation, come together with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and lift our voices to extol the sum of His character, who He is. We get that opportunity, first of all, with Great is the Lord at number 31. So let's stand together and sing out together.
Star Lord, great.
have a chair. Take your blue songbooks and turn to number 268. God our Father, we adore thee. Number 29. Glorify thy name. Maybe see a pattern of the Trinity in these songs. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we adore you. Sing with me. His name in so many ways. One way is that in their wickedness, they even show His holiness in their unholiness. That the light of His holiness is able to shine through their wickedness, and that His providence is made manifest in their actions, and that everything that they do and everything that happens in this world is leading to an end, and to His good purpose, and to His coming. And one day we'll see Him again, and in that time we'll be able to sing, like in number 262, which we're about to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. So let's sing number 262, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, as it is now, our song shall rise to Thee. Let's stand together, let's sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Awesome creatures of great power, bowing down to the glory and radiance and awesomeness of our God, our God. And now look in the third verse. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, in purity. And think of this, someday we will shed this body of sin, and we will be able to see Him in all of His glory. We will have no more hindrance, no more weights of this world, no more physical encumbrance of this body, no matter how frail it is, but we'll be broken free to see Him in all His majesty. Amen, Bob?
Amen.
Amen. So let's sing in that third verse. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 though the darkness hide me, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity.
Sing it out on the fourth. So much for participating this morning. Go ahead and have a chair.
Morning. The scripture reading will be in Psalm 90 this morning. Psalm 90, starting in verse 1, we find, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for as soon it is cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the works of our hands, establish thou it.
Amen. And now we have the privilege of worshiping the Lord through our giving as our ushers come forward. If you'd like to designate part of your offering or your offering toward the Mies, toward the work of their ministry, go ahead and designate that on your offering. I'll mention also this evening, we'll have a special offering specifically for Daniel and Jennifer Mee. So keep those things in mind. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us with so many things. We thank you that you have blessed us with giving us life, both physical life and also spiritual life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We realize that everything that we have is a gift from you. So now, as we have this time of worship and giving, we realize that what we are giving is only a portion of what you have given to us. Really, all that we have is yours. But now we desire to worship you by giving back some of that which you have blessed us with. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Children can go ahead and be dismissed to Children's Church. And as I had mentioned before, we're privileged to have Daniel and Jennifer Mee with us. I'm sure perhaps some of you have had a chance already to visit with them. Be sure to look at their display board there back on the back table. And Daniel, come now, and I'm sure the Lord has placed something upon your heart to share with us from the Word of God. And what a great thing it is to preach God's Word, because it's by God's Word that we're able to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Daniel?
Thank you. Well, it is a privilege to get to preach God's Word and to get to be with you all today. I'm going to turn this mic on here. So it is a privilege to be with you all. As the pastor said, please do sign up on our prayer sheet in the back. Or we will send out newsletters every once in a while, so hopefully you can stay up to date as far as what's going on there in Columbia, what the Lord is doing in our hearts as we prepare for Columbia. So if you want, sign up on that, and certainly go by, take a look at it, and come talk to us. We enjoy talking about Columbia, and we have the privilege tonight to be able to share more with you about what God is doing in Columbia and the burden that He has given to us for going there and to serve Him there in Columbia. So we're looking forward to that opportunity tonight and getting to share that time with you all. Since we don't know each other very well, we've only been here for a little bit of time, you don't know a whole lot about me, but one of the things I enjoy doing is camping. I love camping, and especially I enjoy campfires. That to me is just about as good as it gets. Being outdoors, nice weather, especially around this time of year, it's fall. Here it's pretty cool, and I've definitely been camping in weather like this, but right now in Tennessee, and maybe doing the same here, where the leaves start to change and it's cool, I love that. And having campfires, that's about as good as it gets. My wife knew this, and for a couple of birthdays ago, she decided to take me for my birthday out to a lake where we would have a fire and enjoy a little cookout there. And before we left, she asked me, should we bring wood for the fire? And I was like, no, of course not. We find wood when we're there. You know, you find wood out there and build a fire with. And when we got there, and there's very little wood around, and I started looking for wood, and even the wood I'm finding is mostly damp or wet. So I'm scrounging together everything I can find, trying to get a little bit of a flame going, you know, getting the leaves in there and hopefully lighting those, and nothing is working. We've just been married a short time, and so my reputation as an outdoorsman is at stake. It's online, and I'm trying to get this fire going, desperate to get this fire going. It's not happening. And then I remembered I had two $20 bills and a $10 bill in my wallet, and they were dry. And so I lit the $10 bill, and it got a little bit of a flame. So I was like, well, you use the two 20s and lit those and got a little bit more of a flame. I'm just kidding. I didn't actually do that. I was getting some looks like this guy's crazy. I didn't do that. We got the fire going some other way. But there are times where we make an even more absurd investment than it would have been for me to waste those $50 on that little flame. We make a more absurd investment with our time and where we put our heart, what we invest our hearts and our lives in. That is what was addressed this morning as Andy was nice enough to read Psalm 90 to you guys. And we're going to work through this. Because in Psalm 90, Moses is actually writing this psalm. Go ahead and turn there. Moses is writing this psalm, and his argument here is to change our perspective on life, to change how we look at life, to change our value system, so that we do not invest our lives in things that are insignificant. Just like it would have been insignificant to spend $50 to get a couple of seconds of a flame. And yet, to spend $50 to heat my apartment for the whole year, that's a good investment. We invest in things that are lasting. We have a perspective on certain things in this life, and we decide that's worth it, that's valuable, I'm ready to invest $50 in that. Same with our life. We look at life, we look at the way we spend our time, where we put our energies, and we decide, is this worth it? The problem is, we have a wrong value system. So we're in danger of investing our lives in things that are insignificant. That is what Moses argues for here in Psalm 90. Let's pray, and then we'll get started looking at his word. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would use it to move in our hearts. Help me that I would have words from you, and that I would say what you would desire me to say. And Lord, I'm incapable of communicating your word as effectively as I need to, and so I pray that your word would run and have free course in my life and in their lives, that we would be affected and changed because of your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Moses is going to help us to gain a new value system, a new perspective on life so that we invest in what is significant. And he does that in several ways. I want you to look at the first few verses here of Psalm 90. And what he's going to do here is he is going to totally change our perspective, totally blow our value system out of the water. Because when we look at life, when we look at things that are valuable or lasting, we're thinking in terms of a lifetime at most. We're thinking in terms of, 80, 90 years. Those are things that are valuable. But he totally changes this for us in an effort to help us gain a new perspective, a new value system. He starts off by showing us how big God is. There's something far greater and far beyond what we normally look at. Normally those 80 or 90 years, we have to broaden our perspective here. We have to gain this new value system. Psalm 90 verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses is sitting here probably thinking of his great-grandfather, his grandfather, the people in the history, the genealogies. You can read those in scriptures, how they come down. And Moses is probably thinking of these. His grandfather, great-grandfather, his father. And he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So right here he's showing us, God is way bigger than our 80 or 90 years. Way outside of that. In fact, he's been there with his great-grandfather, with his grandfather, with his father. He's there with Moses. He's here with us. It keeps going down. God is always there, even though we come and go. So God is far greater than us, than our short lifetime. And then he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's given us illustrations here. to help us, because he has to break us out of this rut of simply viewing things with the perspective of 80 or 90 years, our value system, and force us to broaden that. So he's given us illustrations. God's been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So you think of mountains. They're strong, they're stable, they don't go anywhere. I can go to the same park and see the same mountains my great-grandfather saw. They're stable. But he says, even before God made those, so God is far outside of this, God made those, before that, from everlasting he was God, and from everlasting he will be God. Huge. Far greater than we normally think. We do not think in terms of everlasting to everlasting. We're thinking in terms of 80 or 90 years. But he's changing our perspective. Verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. What is he saying here? God is so much greater than us that, and so much more lasting than us, that when it comes time for me to die, God says, okay, your time's up, and I'm buried, and I'm done. Same happened with, will happen with my father. Same has already happened with the generations before me, and it keeps going like that. God's way outside of this, though. Your time on earth will end at some point, and God will say, okay, return to the earth. You're done. But he keeps going. He's outside of this. Then he says in verse 4, this is nice, this is helpful. He puts some numbers to it. Some of you guys are number people, and it helps you to gain this perspective through numbers. So verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years. We normally think of the terms of 80 or 90 years, a lifetime. But he says 1,000 years. That's just something, he's giving us a number that is far greater than we even can really comprehend. We don't think in terms of 1,000 years. But he says, those 1,000 years that seem so big to us, when you gain a perspective of how big an everlasting God is, that's as a moment. 1,000 years in God's sight are as yesterday. So there's a totally different perspective here. For us, 1,000 years seems long. With an eternal perspective, it's like yesterday. It's fleeting. It's passing. It's fast. So what Moses has done here in these first few verses, in order to help us gain a new value system, a new perspective on life, is he has showed us how big God is. How much greater and grander an eternal perspective really is than what we normally consider. Then he switches gears a little bit in the next few verses. He continues his argument, but now he switches from showing us how big God is to showing us how small we are. And really how insignificant. Look at verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. You know what it's like if you've watched the news and seen like the tsunamis that come through, and you have certain buildings or certain vehicles or whatever, and the tsunami wipes everything out. It just washes through. It doesn't look and think, okay, that's a nice building, I'm going to go around that. Or no, it takes out everything, no matter how strong and stable it seems. That's the perspective of our life. When the tsunami comes and a flood comes, it washes everything away. We can quickly be taken away. We're not as stable as we think. Then he says, also in verse 5, that we are as a sleep. Basically, just like a night. Our whole life that we view as sometimes quite lasting. We think 80, 90 years, a whole lifetime. And he says it's like a sleep. Really, don't think of it in terms of, oh, I've got a bunch of years left. Think of it like you go to bed, you wake up, and it's done. It's over. That's the proper perspective we should view life. He says in the verse 5 and verse 6, he compares us to grass. That grows up, it's cut down, it withers, and it's done. It's showing us that life is fragile. Life is fleeting. It quickly passes. So he's showing us how big God is. Now he's showing us how small, how fleeting, how brief our life is. He switches gears one more time in the next few verses. He's showing us how big God is. God is way outside. This eternal perspective, if we gain this eternal perspective, we're thinking in terms of 1,000 years, like a day, something that is far greater than what's here. And then we begin thinking of our own life as fleeting, as fast. He does something else. And this is in an effort to help us recognize that we are accountable for how we spend this life. Because at this point, we've seen, okay, well, I should be thinking in terms of huge, everlasting, like God is. And if my life truly is this brief and this fleeting, then it doesn't matter how I invest it, right? It's insignificant. Just like if we're very concerned about how we spend $50, $100, $20, we're concerned about that. But you know, a few cents here and there, not a big deal. It's kind of that perspective. So we can come away like that. My life's so short and insignificant, I can do whatever I want, right? Because it just doesn't matter. But in an effort to keep us from that conclusion, Moses writes on. The next few verses, perhaps you, as Andy was reading these, you're like, whoa, what is this guy going to preach on? Verse 7, we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and the secret, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. When I was younger, I liked to catch bugs. And I can remember trying to catch butterflies many times. But they're hard. It's hard to catch a butterfly, especially for a little kid. But I remember the time when I finally caught that butterfly. And I didn't mean to hurt it. But when I opened up my hand, I crushed its wings. Just because the butterfly is so fragile. Compared to me, even as a little kid running around, the butterfly is fragile. Even as I was trying to be careful, it couldn't take the power of my hand there. That's the perspective we get from these verses. We're like the butterfly. Our lives are so fragile and brief, and yet we're accountable to a God that is infinite. He has an infinite ability to punish. That's what Moses is showing us here. So we can't come to the conclusion, my life's so short, I'm just going to throw it away. I'm just going to do whatever I want with it. It doesn't matter. We can't come to that conclusion. Because we're accountable to an infinite God for how we invest our short lives. And a lot of times, as we look at God's character, we're talking about His love, His faithfulness. And Moses doesn't even mention that here. Why? Because he wants you to get hit full force with the weight of you are accountable to an infinite God whose wrath is beyond what you can take. And that's what he leaves us with. Why? He's trying to help us to gain a new perspective so that we invest in things that matter. He says in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow. We are soon cut off and fly away. So, okay, he said 70 or 80 years. That's just rough. Rough estimate. Sometimes more, sometimes less. 70 or 80 years. And we live and we work. He says their strength is labor and sorrow. We're soon cut off and fly away. So basically, without God in the picture, here's what life is. 70, 80 years, you're going to work really hard, experience a lot of difficulty in life, and then you're going to die and the next person will take your place. That's not what we want. We have something more than that to live for, and that is what Moses is urging us towards. He's urging us to not live that way, to get a proper perspective on life, to gain a new value system so that we invest our lives in things that are significant. Look what he says in verse 12. So, when he says that, he's saying, so the conclusion of this, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We have to. We have to learn to number our days. We have to gain this new perspective. God is huge. It's everlasting. There's something bigger that we should have in view than the 80 or 90 years. God's big. And our 80 or 90 years, or however long we live, he says 70 or 80 years is short. And we're accountable to God for it. So we need to number our days. So teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom. We must gain this perspective. If we hope to invest our short lives in what's significant, all of us want that. Every single one of us here wants to invest in what's significant. We just do it in different ways. Here, he's showing us what is truly significant, what is truly important, and urging us to gain this perspective. We must recognize how short life is. As I was thinking about this, he says here, that verse 11 where he says, 70 years and 10, if by reason strength, 80. Basically saying 70 or 80 years. So the middle will be 75 years. That's what he's saying as our life. And I want this to represent the 75 years. The 75 years we have, and I want to give this as a visual illustration so that we can begin to think through, what do I have to invest? I'm going to take myself as an example. I'm actually 26. I just turned 26, but to kind of round things out, we're going to say 25. If I'm 25, then that's a third of these 75 years. So I have this to invest, but my time started ticking. And so I've already marked these things and scored these so that I can break them off at the right spot. So out of this, the 75 years, 25 years for me is already gone. So that's what I have left to invest. It's no longer this. I have this left to invest. Time is urgent. Time is fleeting. But out of these years, out of the 50 years supposedly that I have left, 19 of those years will be spent in personal care. Now that would be sleeping. That would be a big chunk of it. Or makeup. Or shaving. Or bathing. 9.5 hours a day on average for people. So 19 out of these 50 years is spent in personal care. So that time is gone. That's what I have left to invest. That is what I have left to invest in what's significant. Time is fleeting. It's passing. Out of those 50 years, 3 years will be spent eating. Just 3 years eating. So I break that part off. That's what I have left. Out of those years, 5 years, on average for Americans, 5 of those years are going to be spent just doing chores, just doing the things I have to do to live, whether it be shopping or cooking or filling up with gas, whatever, just the things I have to do in order to live. 5 years is gone. That's what I have left to invest in what is significant. And then I'm forced to think, it's becoming more and more precious to me now because I realize how short it is. And I start thinking, how do I invest this? We've already broken off things for sleeping, for personal care, for eating, for chores. What else is left? How else do I spend my life? I start thinking about all the things I do. You know, on average, out of those 50 years, and this is a conservative estimate, 5 years are going to be spent watching TV. So I got to break it off. I'm like, no, I can't keep breaking this off for things that don't matter. This is all I have left to invest in what is significant and what is eternal. So what do we do? Hopefully we've gained this perspective. Our life's fleeting. And really, some of you might be thinking, my life is actually much shorter than yours. My life's already been ticking. But for you, you have the opportunity in that small segment to invest in things that are significant. You have the opportunity, whatever amount of years you have left, to do something far greater than you might originally think. Like, from the worldly perspective, they think, you don't got much time left. But from an eternal perspective, you can invest in something that is far significant on a value system that is far greater with the few years you have left. For some of you that are younger, you might be thinking, I've got a lot of time left. I'm probably younger than you are. I've got plenty of time left. You're in the most danger. Because if you have that perspective, you begin throwing your life away to things that don't matter. How do we go out? How do we change? Where do we go from here? I want you to turn over to Hebrews 11. Because, you see, Moses wrote this psalm. Moses wrote Psalm 90. In an effort to apply this to our lives, I want us to look at Moses. You know, these are some pretty lofty claims. If we're supposed to walk around with this perspective, that life is fleeting like this, that changes a lot. And believe me, it does. For me, this follows me everywhere. I'm the one that sits here and meditates on this and studies this so I can present it to you. So it stays with me. So I think, how am I investing my time? How am I investing my heart, my energy? Well, let's look at Moses. In an effort to apply this to our lives, let's look at Moses, the man who wrote this, and see how did he invest? How did he apply these verses to his life? We're going to read a couple of verses as we apply this to us. Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, let's take these verses and see how Moses applied and seek to apply it to our lives. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you've got to understand here, he had incredible prestige in his hands. He goes from being a Hebrew boy that's supposed to be killed to all of a sudden growing up in the palace, and it goes beyond that. Because as you look at as Egyptian history, the succession to the throne actually went through the oldest daughter of Pharaoh. Do you know what that means? That means, and the historians differ some. Some say that the line of succession, the next Pharaoh, will be Pharaoh's oldest daughter's husband. Some say it'll be her oldest son. So, either way you look at it, Moses is either getting ready to be Pharaoh, or king of Egypt, or the prince of Egypt. Either way, incredible prestige, like most of us will never dream of. And what does he do? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because he knew that God had called him to serve God by leading the people out of Israel. And he forsakes it all. He forsakes that prestige. He looks at all the prestige of Egypt, being Pharaoh, a prince. He says, oh no, I'm not going to live for that. I'm not going to invest in that. It's too short. Because he had that perspective from Psalm 90. For us, that prestige, that's incredible. For him, that's small. Not worth investing my life in. He would rather wander in the wilderness with the people of God because he wanted to serve God. For us, prestige is a big deal. I remember when I went to college, I was thinking, how am I going to make a name for myself? That's the kind of the idea of prestige. How are people going to know me? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it through basketball. I'm going to get good at basketball. I'm going to make the basketball team. And then people are going to know me. Oh yeah, you're one of those guys who plays basketball. So that's what I decided to do. And my perspective was wrong. There's nothing wrong with basketball. I still like playing basketball. But if I invest everything in that, if that becomes everything to me, if that's what I go after with all my heart, that's too small of a goal to live for. For you, it might be different. It might be sports, you might like that. Or for you, it might be being a successful businessman. Maybe you want, you know, it's hard economic times and you're going to do everything you can to be a successful businessman. That's how you want to be known. That's what we can dump everything into. Or maybe it is just being known in church as the perfect mom or housewife. That's what you invest everything in. Or it could be many different things that you think, this is where my identity is going to be. Maybe it's making good grades or being popular. It's too small to invest in. Dump your effort into serving Christ, not in gaining that reputation. verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God had called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And he looks at Egypt and says, I have a choice. I can go with these people, flee from Pharaoh, be out in the wilderness, or I can stay in this palace and have everything I want. Anything I want. No restraint. And for him, basically he viewed, if God had called him to do that, and he were to go back to Egypt, he says that's sin. So that's the passing pleasures of sin there in Egypt. We get tempted with this. We're tempted to live for worldly things that could actually be sinful things. We're tempted to find satisfaction in drugs, or to find meaning in life in alcohol, or maybe in immoral styles, or maybe things like that. But maybe it's not such bad things. Maybe it's just find it in the wealth or the comfort. And he says, if you reject what God's saying, calling you to do, that's past the pleasures of sin. And Moses says, it's not worth it. And you recognize that you might be found in that position of pursuing things like that, but you would never have reached as high as Moses could have. He could have had everything Egypt had to offer. And he says, even that is not worth it. Too small. Too small of a goal. In view of this perspective that we've learned, that's too small. Don't invest in that. What's worth it? Serving God. Then he says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Okay, so before, we just saw Moses talk in Psalm 90 about God's infinite wrath. He left us with that. That's hard and heavy. That we are accountable, do you remember this? That we are accountable with our short life to an infinite God. But here he gives us the flip side. He says here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. You see, as you learn God's character, God tells us that he's mindful that we're but dust. He knows that we're kind of like that butterfly that's so fragile. If he dumps his wrath out on us, we can't take it. He's mindful that we're but dust. He says that God is slow to anger. Basically, when he comes to judge you for the way you use your life, when he views your sins as a Christian, he views you as Jesus Christ. When he punishes you and corrects you to point you in the right direction, he restrains himself. He doesn't dump infinite wrath out on you. You wouldn't be here. You couldn't take it. So he's slow to anger, but he abounds in loving kindness. He unleashes that upon you. His loving kindness, when you serve him, that's what Moses is looking at. And he looks at that, an infinite God dumping out loving kindness through greater riches is what he calls it. Or he talks about a reward. He says, Egypt doesn't compare with that. This whole kingdom and all its wealth doesn't even compare to that. We have an infinite God, remember, is everlasting. He has that ability to bless you. And he says, that's something worth living for, not Egypt. We're tempted to live for money, and often we're taken away living for money that's far less than Egypt. None of us are going to see the wealth of Egypt. Of a whole kingdom? Not a chance. But we can be taken away with living for a little bit of wealth. The American dream. I worked with guys that were always consumed with. Somebody else would drive up, and one of the guys would look up, how in the world does he get that truck? I'm doing the same job as him. How does he get such a nice truck? I got to get a truck like that. And you know how where he lives? He's got a pool too. And that's the talk. It's like I got to do better. It's the American dream where you're trying to keep it. What is it? Trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatever? Where you're constantly looking and thinking, I've got to get better. I've got to progress. I've got to get the nicer car, the nicer house. That sucks the life out of Christianity. It's too small of a goal to live for. What this world has to offer, you would invest your life in living for riches here. It's too small. Look at the riches of heaven. Look at the riches of serving Christ. That's something worth living for. That's what Moses said. Gaining this perspective, Moses, you might think you don't even know what you're talking about, but look at Moses. He knew it. He knew what wealth was. He forsakes it. too small to live for. He had it, he gave it away to serve God. And he said, oh, serving God's great riches. It wasn't hard for him. It wasn't like, I guess I got to give up all of Egypt. No. It's like, oh yeah, I'm giving up Egypt because I don't want to miss out on serving God. Then you see in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to see him who is invisible. He risked his life here. I mean, he's got a choice here. Either enjoy all the favor of Pharaoh, or leave, and he'll pursue you with his armies to kill you. He risks it. Why? Because he wants to serve God, and he has this perspective that his life's short and fleeting. He wants to invest in what's significant. I think of Jim Elliot. Do you all know that story? Jim Elliot, this man who, with four other men, go to the Alka Indians. He's going to serve these. He's going to bring the gospel to these people. People are telling him, don't do this. Jim Elliot's a 28-year-old man. Tons of talent. An athletic guy. Guy that loves God. Just been married, I think, 3 years. Saying, don't do this. He says, oh, I want to serve God. That's the way he's going to serve God. He goes there, and what happens? Before he gets to give the gospel, he's killed. He didn't even get to give the gospel. He didn't even get to plant a church. And he's killed. A waste, right? No. Because he has this perspective. He's not sitting here looking at his life thinking, I've got to hold on to this. As hard as I can, I've got to protect it. I've got to protect it. So, that's not his perspective. His perspective is, this is passing. It's fleeting. This, not very important. I shouldn't spend a lot of time thinking about this. I should spend a lot of time thinking about eternity and important things. And so he's like, oh yeah, I might risk giving this up. I might lose this. But that's not very important to me, so I don't mind losing this if I have the moment and that opportunity to glorify God in that one moment. 28 years old, dead. No more of the rest of his life. So that means about my age, he's dead. Doesn't have the rest of his life to live. He wasn't hanging on to it, though, because he wanted to serve God. And he had the opportunity to bring God glory in that moment more than the rest of his life. Amazing. He has amazing investment in eternity in what's really lasting for that one moment. We need people that are ready to take risks, that don't look at life and hang on to it as hard as you can because it's going so quickly. Gain a new perspective. This isn't really valuable. It's passing. You're thinking about eternity. What really matters, that you have the opportunity with this that's not very valuable to invest in something that's very valuable. That's why I say for some of you, you might think, I don't have much left. That's not that important. It's not that important for any of us how much we have left. What's important is how are you investing it? What are you doing with it? Are you investing in things that don't matter as well? Or are you investing in things that are significant? Do you get taken with riches or with prestige or with sin or with fear for hanging on to your life? Or do you think, all those things are too small. I'm going to invest in what's significant. When I was younger, I played soccer. And I played goalie or keeper. And if some of you have played soccer, you know, like in front of the goal, it's always muddy. Maybe you've seen that. You know, the field looks nice, but in front of the goal, there's so much movement and running around in that area that often, at least in the fields we were playing on, were muddy and dirty. Well, especially when it rained, my coach would do something strange. And I'm like probably a 10 or 12-year-old kid, probably a 10-year-old kid. And he would make me go out there, lay down in the mud and water and roll before the game even started. So I get up and I'm dripping, totally muddy, everything. Why would he do that? Because as a 10-year-old kid, I'm loving soccer. Because I step out on the field, and all these people are watching me. And I've got a silky jersey on. And it's got my number on it. Everybody can see my number. And everybody's excited. And I've got this silky jersey that feels really good when I run. And they cheer for me. And I've got these pants with like three stripes for like Adidas and everything. And I think that's so cool. And I've got these nice soccer cleats. And I'm a soccer player. And everybody loves it. And everybody's watching me. This is great. And it swishes when I run and everything too. It's like I'm really enamored with that, and then I'm playing, and somebody kicks a ball, and I look at all that mud, and I don't want to get in there. And so the ball's coming, and I risk not diving for the ball. I just kind of, you know, maybe like, oh well, I missed it, but I'm clean still. You know, I risk that because I'm concerned. I'm enamored with things that don't matter. That's how it can happen to us. In the life, we can start becoming very enamored with things that don't matter. We can become really concerned with those things. And then something really significant comes along, and we just let it go. We let it go because we're so enamored with things that don't matter. That's what we have to guard against. That's why Moses is telling us to gain this new value system, to not hang on to life, to not look at these things as so significant, but to view eternity and invest in that and dump our lives in that. Some of you have got to think, if this is what's left, most of this is at work for some of you. That's fine. You're not missing out. That's what God's called you to. Invest there in what's significant. You may be the one person that gets to reach those guys. They're probably not coming to church on Sunday. That's where you can invest in eternity. Or when you spend time with your family, how are you building those relationships so that you have the opportunity to invest in their lives for God's purposes? Or when you make decisions, I think about this all the time when I drive in the car a lot of times between work. That's where I'm thinking, you know, I can waste that time, or I can meditate, or I can listen to messages, or listen to good music. It turns my heart to God. Think through this in your life. This is important. We have to grasp this, or we're in danger of investing in things that are insignificant. But there's a hope in front of us. We can take a life that doesn't really matter and make it count for eternity. That's our option as Christians. That's what causes somebody to say, yeah, I'm going to go across the world as a missionary because I'm going to invest in something that's significant. That's what helps a man who's a businessman right here in Des Moines say, what I'm more concerned about than making money is I'm concerned about my coworkers. I'm concerned about Christian testimony. So what causes Christians to be passionate for Christ and not consumed? Like you think of the parable of the seed, where he's throwing the seed out, and he says that some falls in an area where there's weeds, and it calls those the pleasures and riches of this life come up and choke it, so it doesn't bear fruit. That's what happens to us sometimes. We get so focused on this. But when we're focused on eternity, we're investing in things that are significant. That's what we need. That's what hopefully God will use this passage of Scripture to change our hearts to where we go out here this week, we desire to invest in things that are significant. Let's pray, and I'll turn it back over to the pastor. Father, I thank you for your word. Help us to invest in what is significant. That's a daily battle for us. Our hearts are prone to wander, and I pray that you would help us to not hold on to this life, but to view you and serving you as the most satisfying, wonderful thing in the world. I thank you for that opportunity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In closing, let's turn to number 482. 482, stand with me. Along the lines of what we heard this morning, we're going to sing verse 2 and then the end of the invitation, verse 4. 482. Am I a follower of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to on flowery beds of bees?
lives are so very short, and we don't know if we'll even live to the end of this day. Our lives are like a vapor. They're in God's hands. We don't know how much more time we have. Are we using the time that God has given us to give Him glory? Are we pouring out our lives to serve God? Or are we just really wasting it with things of the world? Are we a soldier of the cross? Are we sacrificing? Are we giving up the pleasures of this life and giving our all for Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead and sing stanza number 3 and 4.
Same thing.
Aren't there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world a friend to race through? Help me on to God. Sure I must find if I would reign. Increase my courage.
It's good to have the Mies with us this morning. Make sure you attend to their table and get to know them a little bit. They'll be back here this evening. We trust you'll be here as well. And they'll be presenting their future ministry to us, that we might partner with them in prayer and in other means as well. So we'll see you then. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word is constant. And Lord, that we have faithful men and women of God throughout this world who are willing to serve you and to minister that word to others. Thank you this morning, especially for the Mies who have come. And Lord, even ministered to us. I pray, Father, that you would bless them for their encouragement. And Lord, for giving us another glimpse into who you are and to what you require of us. I pray, Father, that you would send us out this afternoon. Lord, Father, I pray that we would go out understanding that you do require a great price from us, for you have redeemed us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.